Welcome, welcome to Ball is Live. Thank you guys for listening. I am your host, Jay Smooth. It is a beautiful day here at Dominican University of California. This is Ball is Live. Once again, I'm Jay Smooth. So, NBA playoffs are underway, and it's been exciting. It's been an exciting NBA playoff year, NBA postseason. So, we're going to talk about that today. So we got a great show. Talk about the disappearance of James Harden for the Rockets. What happened to James Harden? And we'll talk about some lottery teams that didn't make the playoffs this year that will make the playoffs next year. So let's get it started off with the NBA playoffs. So it's been a crazy NBA playoff postseason. Excuse me. The series have been very competitive, very, very competitive. So let's start it off in the West. So number one seed Spurs going to number eight seed Mavericks. That series is tied 1-1. The Dallas Mavericks won last night, 113-92. Game three is on Saturday at 1:30. This series is interesting because Dallas is not your typical 8 seed. They won 48 games, 48 to 50 games. And usually, if you win 50 games, that gets you, like, usually at least a 5 seed. But not this year in the West, because the West is so good. There was 9 good teams that could have made the playoffs. But the Phoenix Suns missed the cut. But Dallas is not your typical 8 seed. Not like, because, for example, in the East, the Atlanta Hawks, they're under 500, so that's an 8 seed. Dallas is a team that, you know, is a veteran team and knows how to win to get to the NBA Finals, because they've done it a couple years ago. So Dirk's been looking good. The whole team's been looking good. They had San Antonio on the ropes in game one. Should have pulled that one out, but San Antonio, you know, they know how to win close games at the end, so San Antonio pulled it out. So that's a good series to watch. I would not be surprised if Dallas knocks off San Antonio and moves on to the next round, because Dallas is that good of a team. So we'll see what happens in game three on Saturday. They go back to Dallas. You know, that crowd, Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner, is going to get that crowd wild up. You know, it's going to be loud in there. So San Antonio is going to have their hands full with the Dallas team that could pull it off by the, you know, they could have a 3-1 lead in the series going back to San Antonio. So we'll see what happens. But that series can go 7. So that series is not going to be... All the games are going to be close. It's not going to be no cakewalk for either team. So we'll see what happens there. Next series of the West, we'll talk about is the number 4 seed Houston Rockets going against the number 5 seed Portland Trail Blazers. And Portland, wow, you know, they made me look dumb, because I thought Houston was going to sweep or at least beat Portland in 5 games, but that is not the case. Portland came to play, and why shouldn't they? It's the NBA playoffs. They want to win an NBA championship. They're up 2-0. They just won. They won last night 112-105. So they have a 2-0 lead over the Houston Rockets, and game 3 is Friday at 7:30. So, and LaMarcus Aldridge of the Portland Trail Blazers came to play. And in the first 2 games of the playoffs, Aldridge has shot 59 times, and he's scored a combined points of 89 points. Aldridge is going to work. The Houston Rockets cannot stop him. They have no one to contain LaMarcus Aldridge. And another thing I want to talk about this series is, where is James Harden? James Harden is nowhere to be found. I thought, you know, someone to I thought if Houston was going to struggle and one player was going to disappear, it would either be Dwight Howard or Chandler Parsons. But it has been James Harden. What happened? What happened to James Harden? He was playing so well at the end of the season. He was a man on a mission. No one can stop him. He was scoring 50 points one night, 60 points another night, 40 points, 30 points. And in the playoffs, he disappeared like magic. Just poof, disappeared. He's launched 47 shots through the Houston's first two playoff games. 12 fewer than LaMarcus Aldridge. And he's only scored 45 points taking 47 shots. That's not good production. That's not a good ratio. So, I don't know what's happening. He's disappeared. He's shooting 40% from within side the paint. He's shooting about 45% from the three-point line. So, James Harden needs to play because now they're going into Portland where it's always tough to play. Rip City. Portland is one of the toughest places to play. And now you got the playoffs. You got this team up 2-0. So James Harden needs to show up in Game 3. And the Houston Rockets need to win Game 3 because if they do not win Game 3, they will... Their season's done. So their season, like James Harden even said it after the game last night, he said their season is Game 3. Their season rides on Game 3. So if they don't win Game 3, their season is done. You can put the nail in the coffin because I think if Portland wins Game 3, Portland might sweep the Houston Rockets. And it's a shame because I really thought, you know, the Houston Rockets can make a deep run in the playoffs and potentially win an NBA championship this year, but their star player in James Harden needs to show up. So I don't know, but they got to figure something out there in Houston. Next series that's been a crazy series is the Oklahoma City Thunder, who is the 2 seed in the West, playing the 7 seed Memphis Grizzlies. So this series is 1-1. And Game 2 was crazy a little bit because Game 2 was crazy. It was Monday. Memphis won 111 to 105 in overtime. And that was a crazy game. I was, you know, flying back from because I was down. I went back home for Easter. So I was in the airport watching this game. And I saw the last, like, minute and a half. And when Kevin Durant hit that ridiculous 4-point play, I was going crazy. I could not believe my eyes. And I really thought, because Memphis was playing so good, but they were missing free throws at the end, and they were playing so good. I thought, I was like, if Memphis loses this game, that's just going to kill them. But they ended up to pull it out in overtime. So the series is tied 1-1. Game 3 is Thursday. Today at 5. So check that out. And this there's just so many good series in the playoffs. It's just such a good postseason. It's like I haven't seen this great of a first round for a while, and I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it so much. Basketball has been great this year. We had a great March Madness. Now we're having a great NBA playoff season. I'm so excited. But anyways, this series could go 7. I think it might go 7 because Memphis is a front court in Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol is one of the best front court combinations in the league. They play so well together and you can tell. But Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook have been lighting it up. So Game 3 is going to be a very important game because it's 1-1. They're in Memphis. Again, Memphis is one of those underrated places where it's hard to play. It's kind of underrated because, you know, Memphis, they don't get a lot of attention. But Memphis is hard to play in. I do expect, though, I think OKC might pull it out. Because the way Memphis kind of, even though OKC lost game two, but the way they came back, I think they feel good, even though they lost. So I do expect the Thunder to win game three tonight. It's going to be a good game. It's not going to be a blowout. But I do expect OKC to pull this one out tonight at 5 o'clock. So check that one out tonight. And the last, so let's talk about the last series in the West. And that is the number 3 seed Los Angeles Clippers playing the 6 seed Golden State Warriors. So this game is 1-1. So I was at home. Actually, let's tell you when game 3 is. And that is tonight at 7:30. They're here in the Bay Area in the Oracle in Oakland. So game 3 tonight at 7:30. So I was at home watching game 1 of this series, the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors. And I got a lot of heat from this from like my friends and family and other people around school because I think Golden State's going to win this series. I really do. I really believe that they can win this series, even though they do not have Andrew Bogut, who is out with a fractured rib. So, I really think they can pull it out. And when I was watching game one, they performed their game plan. They did what they wanted to do. It was a close game. And I know Blake Griffin only played 19 minutes. And he fouled out. He was in foul trouble. And Jamal Crawford was not playing. He wasn't consistent. He had a very bad game. But I thought Golden State played real well. Jermaine O'Neal had a good game in game one. David Lee, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Iguodala, even though he fouled out, he was in some foul trouble. Harrison Barnes. And then I was like, ooh. You know, Golden State won. They beat him. And I was like, I think they can win game two. And then I saw game two and the Clippers beat them by 40. What was the score? It was 138-98. And they beat them by 40. But I was watching game two and I hate to say it, but the refs are controlling this series. Like, I really don't like it. There's been like game one, the first 5 minutes of this series. There was a lot of fouls called. Blake Griffin had 2 fouls quick. Iguodala had 3 fouls. And the officiating is like controlling the series, and I don't like it. Because in game one at the end, where Chris Paul was dribbling and Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors kind of blocked him, and then the ball went out of bounds off Chris Paul, and they gave it to Golden State, and they missed the foul call, which they did. They missed the blocking call that should have been called. So the refs kind of made up for it in game two, and they gave the Los Angeles Clippers a lot of the calls, and they didn't give Golden State a lot of the calls. And that's why, even though the Clippers did dominate Golden State in game two, the officiating had a little bit to do with it, because Golden State was getting no calls. So I don't like that, but this should be a great series. Game three, they're here in Oakland in the Oracle. I'm going to take Golden State tonight. Golden State, I expect them to win. Reasons, I feel like Mark Jackson's going to get on his team for losing by 40 in the playoffs. That shouldn't happen. Especially against the team, against the Clippers, and especially when you're the underdog. So I expect Mark Jackson, the Warriors head coach, to get on his team for that. I expect them to play better defense, and I expect them to come out shooting and firing on all cylinders in front of a ecstatic crowd here at the Oracle. So I'm going to take the Warriors in game three tonight. So game three tonight at 7:30. So now let's transition to the East. Let's transition to the East, and we'll talk about that after this break. We're going to take a quick break right now. I'm Jay Smoove. This is Balls Live, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and we'll talk about the Eastern Conference side when we get back. Welcome back to Ball is Life. Thank you for still tuning in. So now we just talked about the Western Conference side of the playoffs. Now we're going to transition to the Eastern Conference of the playoffs. So we'll start off with the one seed Indiana Pacers playing the number 8 seed Atlanta Hawks. So Atlanta won game one, and they won it convincingly. Indiana didn't look the same. There was reports coming out that Lance Stephenson and Evan Turner got in a fist fight before the playoffs during practice. So Indiana is having a whole bunch of problems. But then they did come out in game two. They did come out in game two on Tuesday and beat Atlanta convincingly 101-85, which they should have done in both games. So this series is tied 1-1. They play tonight at 4 p.m. in Atlanta. So Indiana needs to, you know, pull it together, because they're the team that everyone thinks that can knock off the Heat and beat the Heat and move and advance and represent the East in the NBA Finals. So they need to pull it together. They're not. They can't They can't be struggling against a team, the Atlanta Hawks, that should be either swept or in five games. They shouldn't be struggling and getting blown out on their own home court in the first playoff game to the Atlanta Hawks. So they need to pull this together and start playing like they were in the beginning of the season. They look uncomfortable playing together. It's not the same. Ever since, you know, Evan Turner came and, you know, that was supposed to be like a huge acquisition. That was supposed to be a huge, you know, pickup for the Indiana Pacers, but he hasn't really kind of fitted in. And then some of the teammates or some of the team does not like Lance Stephenson's attitude because he's, you know, kind of up in your face kind of guy. That's how he plays. So they need to pull it together and they need to become one as a team, because it looks like they're playing for themselves out there. And it doesn't look like they're playing for the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana fans. They're looking like they're just playing for themselves, and they're kind of playing selfish basketball. So we kind of saw them playing as one in game two. So if they can, you know, make that consistent performance, they could win this series easily and then contend with the Heat and hopefully for them move on to the NBA Finals. So they need to come as one. And on the other side, Atlanta, there is no pressure on Atlanta. Atlanta just got to show up and play basketball, play the way they had to play. So Atlanta's in a good position. So it's all the pressure's on Indiana, because everyone's talking about Indiana. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith went off on Indiana after game one. So there's the whole world's on Indiana's shoulders right now. There is no pressure on Atlanta. So if Atlanta can take advantage of this, of having the pressure all in Indiana, and then Atlanta, the Hawks, can take advantage of this, I wouldn't be surprised if they upsetted the Indiana Pacers. I would kind of be disappointed, because I would like to see another Indiana-Miami series, but Atlanta can pull this game off. The way they played in game one, and if they can repeat that performance, Atlanta could, you know, knock off the Indiana Pacers. And we can talk about how the Indiana Pacers were one of the most disappointing teams of this season. So it's going to be, you know, you just watch out and see if Indiana can play as one team. So we'll see what happens. Next series is the 4-seed Chicago Bulls playing the 5-seed Washington Wizards. So, you know, I really expected the Bulls to, to win, you know. I expected the Bulls to, you know, make a deep run. I thought they would make it to the next round. They still can. I'm not saying the series is over. You know, the Wizards are up 2-0. The Wizards took both games in Chicago. The latest game, Washington won, was 101-99 on Tuesday. So Washington leads the game, the series 2-0. Game 3 is Friday at 5. And the Wizards they're a great team. They're a great young team. They're the Wizards are the Portland Trail Blazers of the East. They're young. They got a young point guard and leader. They have great coaching. They have all-star caliber player, big men that they play. Portland has LaMarcus Aldridge. The Washington Wizards have Nene. So the Wizards are up 2-0. They beat They beat in Chicago. And this series, I feel like this series is not a series that a lot of people are talking about. It's kind of under the radar. And I don't know why, but because Chicago, everyone was, you know, giving Chicago praise. I was even giving Chicago praise when they were, you know, they beat Miami. Joakim Noah was getting the MVP in the into the MVP conversation. And everyone was surprised of how well they were doing without Derrick Rose again, because Derrick Rose, their star player and point guard, is injured. He tore his ACL again. And everyone was giving their coach, Tom Thibodeau, a great, you know, great praise. You know, he should be coach of the year. He always, you know, gets his team through a tough times, because they did. They lost Derrick Rose. They traded Luol Deng to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Bulls, I really thought that, you know, the Bulls were going to make a deep run, or at least make a, not a deep, if not a deep run, they were going to make an they're going to have an impact in the playoffs. But that's not the case here. The Wizards are up 2-0. They're going to Washington, D.C. now. And it's, you know, it's the Wizards' first playoff series in a while, in a couple years. So, you know, the fans are going to be excited. Game three, this is like Houston. The Bulls, this game three, their season rides on game three. If the Bulls do not win game three, their season is likely done. And they have a slim chance of winning the series if they go down 3-0. So, Chicago needs to pull it together. Because I would like to, you know, I would like to see Chicago in the playoffs. That's exciting playoff basketball. I want to see exciting playoff basketball. No offense to the Wizards, because they're a young, great team, too, that is going to be in the playoffs for years to come. But just think of this. Let's say Atlanta upsets Indiana and the Wizards defeat the Bulls. Who's going to want to watch the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards in a playoff series? They're both, you know, I got to give them, if these two teams do win their first round series, I got to give them props, because they did what no one expected them to do. But I don't want to watch a playoff series with Atlanta and the Washington Wizards. So that's why I'm kind of rooting for the Chicago Bulls and the Indiana Pacers to win these series, because I want to see, you know, Indiana, Roy Hibbert go against the Chicago Bulls and Joakim Noah. I would like to see that. That would be great playoff basketball to me, great TV to me. And I'm pretty sure the NBA kind of wants that too, because Indiana-Chicago is going to get more TV ratings and more publicity than the 8-seed Atlanta Hawks against the 5-seed Washington Wizards. So, I want Chicago to win. I think they'll win game three. I expect them to win game three tomorrow. But we got to pull it together. Next series that we're going to talk about, the number 2 seed Miami Heat against the number 7 seed Charlotte Bobcats. Now, this series, Miami's up 2-0. They won both of their home games, so they're going to go to Charlotte. They won game 2, 101-97. Game 3 is Saturday at 4. And I don't want to say Miami's struggling, because they haven't. They've actually been playing really good basketball. Miami's not struggling in the series. It's just, I got to give the Bobcats credit. I'm gaining some respect for the Charlotte Bobcats. They, you know, they've been the laughing stock of the league for years now. And they had that 1 year where they had one of the worst records in NBA history, and I think pro basketball history. And then, you know, they had a good offseason. They signed Al Jefferson. Kemba Walker came into his own. And now, look, they're here in the playoffs. And, no, you know, no one expects them to win the series. But they are gaining some respect around the league, and especially from the Miami Heat, because the first two games have been closer than what people expected. Charlotte was playing good in game one, and then Miami kind of ran away with the game. And then last night, the Charlotte Bobcats stuck with the best team in the league, in the reigning champions, the Miami Heat, and could have won that game. And we could be saying it's 1-1, but Charlotte Bobcats are gaining my respect. Because they are going toe-to-toe with the best team in the league. So, I do expect Miami to win Game 3. I don't expect Charlotte to win on Saturday. But the Bobcats are no joke no more. They're relevant now. They're not irrelevant no more. They are relevant. And I think they're here to stay. I think I can see them in the playoffs next year and years to come. And hopefully, you know, they get up there, they move up in the standings because and get some home court advantage in the first round. But Charlotte's been playing good, but Miami will win game three. I think Miami just has too much talent for the Charlotte Bobcats, and the Bobcats have a lot of young players, you know, a lot of guys that are kind of journeymen, I want to say, because they have the Bobcats have their two superstars in, Kemba Walker and Al Jefferson. And then they got a whole, you know, a lot of journeymen around them. They got Josh McRoberts, who's moved around a lot in the league. Chris Douglas Roberts, who before this year was in the D League. Now he's playing in the NBA playoffs against the Miami Heat. So, let the Bobcats, you know, sign a few more players and draft a couple more players out of college. And, you know, I can see them being a 4 or 5 seed next year or years to come. So Charlotte is gaining a lot of respect for playing toe-to-toe with Miami Heat. But I do expect the Miami Heat to either sweep or win this series in 5 games. And let's go to the last series in the Eastern Conference. I think, besides the Clippers and Warriors series, I think this is the most exciting series in the East. The Toronto Raptors versus the Brooklyn Nets. Game one was crazy. You know, the shot clocks stopped working. The crowd was going wild. Toronto was finally in the playoffs. Drake was there on the sideline rooting on his team. They had 10,000 fans standing outside of the arena watching the game on the Jumbotron. The GM made some comments that he had to apologize for. And then, you know, Brooklyn pulled it out in game one. And then Toronto pulled it out in game two. Toronto won 195 on Tuesday. So the series is tied 1-1. Game 3 is tomorrow at 4. So this series is... I expect the series going 7 because these teams really do not... they don't like each other. They really don't. You know, you got the old dinosaurs, like the Toronto newspaper said, the dinosaurs versus the Raptors. You got, you know, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, going against the young guns of the Raptors with, you know, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross. So, this series is going to go 7. I expect it to go 7. This is the series that's, out of all the series in the playoffs, is most likely going 7 because these teams match up well with each other. Valakiunas, the center for the Toronto Raptors, he's playing great. In game one, he had like 18 rebounds with 15 points. That's good for your, you know, your first playoffs game. And also, Kevin Garnett, he didn't score in the first half, and that was the first time in his playoff career in game one. And he kind of, I don't know what happened to Kevin Garnett, but he kind of looks I hate to say, he looks old. Like, he's, you know, he's sharing time for with Mason Plumlee and Andre Blatch. Kevin Garnett's one of the best power forwards that ever play this game, and he just, it's hard to watch him. It's hard to watch him. But he's still a threat because, you know, he still can knock down that 15 to 18 footer. He plays, he's a defensive anchor. He plays really good defense. So, and then also, Paul Pierce, he took over game one. Everyone, you know, because Deron Williams was having a good game. Joe Johnson was having a good game. And then the commentators at halftime, they were like, who's that third guy to step up for the Brooklyn Nets? And Paul Pierce just took over the final of that game. He just took the end of the game one. He took over. And that's why they call him the truth, because he is the truth. You never can count out. You can never count out Paul Pierce. But so game three is Friday at 4. It's one of the most exciting playoff series in the first round. So I expect this game to go down to the wire like the first two games have been. But they're in Brooklyn for game three. So I feel like Brooklyn's going to pull it out in game three. I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to defeat the Toronto Raptors in game three. But then I also, you know, but I expect the Raptors to pull one game out in Brooklyn. So I think this series is going to come back tied 2-2 going back to Toronto for game five. Because, oh man, this series is great. But yeah, Brooklyn's going to win game three Friday. So we'll see. We're going to take a quick break right now. This is Balls Live. I'm Jay Smoove, and we will be back after this.
say the Hamptons kind of lost, sort of rich. I dig both, and I don't care which. You're going to make me crash, you red hot floor trailer trash. That's the switch.
All right, we back. I'm Jay Smooth. We're back. I got some two special guests here. We got DJ Stang Daddy and DJ Sour Melt.
Ugh.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem. They play college basketball here at Dominican. So I wanted to ask you guys, what's your favorite part of being on the basketball team?
DJ Sour Melt, you want to take a stab at it?
Well, it's cool. It's like you get to be on the team, get all the little perks of being a basketball player, being able to play college basketball. It's real cool.
That's cool. How about you, DJ Stang Daddy?
To be honest, yeah, I love being a Dominican Penguin. It's my pride and joy. I don't know. To be honest, it just helped me get a good network and meet new people.
All right, that's good. Yeah. What's your guys' least favorite part of being on the basketball team?
Ooh, them 6 a.m.s, they kill me, bro. They kill me.
Agreed. Them 6 a.m. practices kill me.
Got to get up at God's hour, huh?
At God's hour.
Waking me up, huh?
Oh, you want to be funny now, huh? You sleep until 12.
Hey, no. Huh? I got class at 10:50. Calm down.
Okay.
Okay. Right. They're college basketball players, so I expect, they're experts. DJ Sour Milk over here is a big LA Clipper fan from Orange County.
Lob City, let's go.
And DJ Stang Daddy here is a big, Golden State fan, and I want you guys to, talk about this. Why do you expect your team to win this playoff series? Game 3 is also tonight, 7:30 at the Oracle.
You mean Roracle.
Okay, Roracle.
Thank you. I mean, they're nothing, but it's okay.
When you're talking to the mic.
I'm talking to the mic. What you saying?
Okay, so why are you a Clippers fan? Let's start off
there. I mean, I've been a Clippers fan since back when Baron Davis and Elton Brand, they were doing work.
Doing work back in 2006, huh?
Yes, sir.
Interesting. You know Baron Davis used to be a Golden State Warrior, right?
I mean, Baron Davis used to be on a lot of teams, but it's okay. I mean, players get traded all the time.
Mm-hmm. They picked him up in free agency, but okay.
Okay.
So Elton Brand, huh?
Yeah, Elton Brand.
That's it? Just Elton Brand?
Lamar Odom.
He actually, he had his best years with the Los Angeles Lakers. Won the Sixth Man of the Year.
Where are the Lakers right now?
They're at home, but it doesn't matter. You want to bring up Lamar Odom?
Bobcats. I mean, the Bobcats are playing the Heat right now, the number one.
They're in the East.
I'm just saying.
That's weak.
Just saying.
The Lakers
could
make the
playoffs. All day.
That's it? Just Clippers all day?
all day. Okay. We're winning the series. But you know, we're going to go the second round. You know, get ready for whoever.
They either going to play the 2-seed OKC or 7-seed Memphis Grizzlies.
I mean, we'll just beat Memphis like we should have done last year. But you know what? It's a new year.
Yeah, what actually let's get into that. You know, the Clippers always, you know, they make the playoffs, but they always have early exits. What's up with that?
You know, we don't have really familiar experience with being in the playoffs and stuff. So true. We got a nice good team. We got good players trying to make something happen, so it's new. So
no, you got to respect it. You got to respect it, what they're doing over there. I mean, Doc Rivers got them playing defense.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't – it's just offense. Now you got them out there playing D. I respect it.
DeAndre Jordan, he's a defensive player of the year candidate.
He's a beast in there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, he is a beast in the paint.
I heard that. Does he have post moves?
I mean, he doesn't really have really post moves, but, I mean, as long as CP gets him the ball and he dunks it, it's fine with me.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, no fundamentals. So, let's talk about game one. Blake Griffin only played 19 minutes. He fouled out. And there was a lot of – what do you think about the officiating during the series?
To be honest, excuse me, I think they should just let him play. You know, big rivalry. They don't like each other. They actually hate each other. They don't want to be – they're not friends out there. So I think they should just let the series be physical, less calls, and let him play and let him run. That's what people want to see. This is supposed to be one of the best series out right now.
I agree with you. You should let him play, you know. Just get physical and go out there and go at it. It's the playoffs. It's the next level. It's going for the finals. So
yeah.
Trying to get the championship.
Definitely. I mean, there's a controversial call at the end on Chris Paul, which I agree should have been called a foul, but it wasn't. And that carried over into game two.
Just got accepted. I mean, not everything's going to get called.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't tripping. We won the game.
I mean, it's just don't be salty because Clippers are going to win the series.
Yeah, Stank Daddy. Game two, your team got blown out by 40. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, it was a tough L. I mean, hearing Keith over here talk that mess, it hurts. But, yeah, I mean, definitely it was a tough L.
40 points.
Over here, he thought it was 30. So, I mean, I guess that shows what
he did thought it. He was thinking it was 30 for a second.
Okay.
It was a 40-point blowout, you know. Blake came to play, and, you know, he had 35 points. CP3 did his thing. The Warriors just didn't show up. And it was hard to show up when he was playing physical and getting a lot of ticky-tack calls. But, I mean, I guess that's just the way the game went. So,
I mean, 40 points for us. I think you guys could come back. Ticky-tack? Come on.
Okay.
40 points. You're going to give up 40 points in a game.
Again, he said 40 points, folks, for like the fourth time. It's okay.
So, game three tonight in the Roracle.
Thank you, Roracle. Oakland, California, baby.
Let's go, Lob City. Let's go. Lob City, people.
That's like 6 hours back home, bro, drive. We're in Oakland. It's called the Roracle, not Lob City. It's Oakland, California. Okay.
Yeah, so the fans should, you know, they're going to be excited.
Man, I'm definitely excited.
You know, they're going to have their little towels, wave them. So what do you expect out of your team, the Clippers over there?
I expect a W today. I think it's going to be a little tough. You know, the Warriors are going to come back. Obviously, they just lost by 40. So they're obviously going to be ready to play, you know, give us a good challenge. But I think we're going to pull out the W today.
What do you got to think about that? Can you put your phone on vibrate?
Please. And talk into the mic.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, okay. What do I think about that? I mean, obviously come from a Clipper fan, someone who has great knowledge of the game. You got to respect the outcome he has chosen. So, obviously I'm going to go with the Warriors. Yes, they got blown out by 40, and I'm expecting them to come out and play hard for their home fan base who sells out every game, you know.
I respect it. I mean, no knock to the Warriors. It's just, you know.
Obviously from... You know, my boy Steph Curry, I'm expecting a big game.
I am too. Klay Thompson. I think Harrison Barnes, you know, he needs to get going.
He got going in the first game. It was a little quiet in the second game. I think in game three, he'll come out with a bang. A couple dunks, threes, because, you know, they're going to stretch out the floor because we're going small ball with Bogut out with a broken rib, which is fine. I mean, I think also Andre Iguodala will have a big game tonight. We need it. He knows it. He knows he needs to step up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I respect it, Russ. I mean, no knock to your team. It's just, you know, it's just a simple rivalry.
Yeah,
no big deal.
No big deal, NBD.
And I got to give, you know, the Clippers credit because they got one of the deepest benches in the league.
We're notorious. I mean, not notorious, but, you know, we're famous for that, you know?
As of now.
Yeah, because, you know,
before you didn't have a deep bench.
A few years.
Before 2006, you know, you guys were kind of trash.
How were those times? Were you a Clippers fan during the dark ages?
You know, it's my little secret.
Okay, yeah, we don't have to get into that right now. Yeah. We'll save that
for
now.
We don't want to put you in the blast. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely Clipper fan. Deep bench, we'll go back to that. Yeah, they got a very deep bench. I mean, they just picked up what? Who else they have?
They got Big Baby.
Danny Granger.
Jamal Crawford, I mean.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford. He's
easily
a great player.
Easily instant offense coming off the bench.
Oh, he's probably sixth man of the year, no doubt.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They got Darren Collison, too.
Easily starting PG on any NBA team.
Yeah. Hedo Turkoglu when he gets some playing time.
I know, when he gets the jumpsuit off.
He led the Magic to the finals back in 2009.
With Dwight.
Back in the day, when Lakers could actually do something too, but you know, we won't bring that up.
Wow.
Damn.
Bang, bang. Shots
fired. That was
fire.
Shots fired. You know, why you have to get on my team, you know? We're just happily sitting at home or wherever Kobe is in probably France before the season ends.
Yeah, Kobe's probably in France chilling, playing a little soccer.
You know?
Watching that Bobcat series, huh?
Again. Bobcat series, huh?
Again, the East is very weak.
Yes.
Very weak.
You know, like, if the Toronto Raptors were in the West, they wouldn't make the playoffs? Do you expect this series to go to 7 games?
I think it will go 7. I think it'll go back to LA. If the Niners, excuse me, if the Warriors were able to squeak out game 2, I was expecting it to go game 6 and win it in the Oracle. But it'll go game 7. Tight series, of course, the Warriors will win.
Well, they can win it in 6 games. They just got to win
both games at home.
Up here, yeah.
Yeah.
Take advantage of home court.
Which I think they will do. They're a tough team at home.
I gotta disagree. I mean, yeah, it's gonna be tough, but I think like the Clippers are gonna take it. I mean, let's just be real. Come on, we're the better team. We're supposed to win on paper, so I mean, I think we're just gonna squeeze it out.
But that's why we play the games and we don't look at the paper.
I'm just saying, what are the stats there for? If we don't look at paper, just saying.
I guess if it's on paper, you guys should be up 2-0 right now, and it's not looking like you're up 2-0.
I mean, anything can happen. It's the NBA, baby. Let's go.
Understood, sir.
Let's go, huh? That's how the Clippers feel. Let's go. He feels like he's not even worried about it. He's already thinking about Memphis and Oklahoma City. He's not even worried about the Warriors.
He was thinking about Memphis, and I mean, I think OKC is going to win that series.
Yeah, what about that ridiculous 4-point play that KD threw up?
Dude,
ridiculous.
That was crazy.
Ridiculous.
Crazy.
That's that's the MVP right there.
No doubt.
I have to agree with that, too, as well.
Best player in the league.
So who do you guys think is the better point guard in the series, Chris Paul or Steph Curry?
I'll take a stab at this one. I think it's really hard and unfair because I think CP3 is like the ultimate PG, like from back in the days, that the floor general, set up his team, run his team type player. You know, easily can score buckets, but I mean he's looking more to get his assist and get his other players involved because he has such a great supporting cast.
Yeah.
So I think he is like the best overall PG, but Steph Curry, he's definitely like a new breed.
Mm-hmm.
The way he plays, the way he uses the 3-point line, is able to bend the defense and make it harder on them in a different way.
Yeah.
So I'm saying they're both up there, but I'll give it to CP3 right now, just off respect and the way he plays the game.
How about you over there?
I don't know. They have two different styles of play. I mean, like, I wouldn't... Yeah, I would say CP3 is better, but he has more experience. Stephen Curry's young. He just came into the league, and he's trying to work out and get experience. So I think in time, I think Stephen Curry would just be as good as CP3 or even better.
Oh. Well, no doubt. I think I have to say CP3 is probably the best point guard in the league right now, but Steph Curry's not far off. Steph Curry is, you know, he's the best shooter on the planet right now. He can shoot it from anywhere.
I'll give you that, yeah. He can just shoot the ball. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you got to take some notes maybe. I don't know. So
let's not bring up your layup package, okay?
All this animosity.
Calm down.
It's just gym time. We just need gym time. Well, it's all love out here. Calm down. Come on, man.
You know. You know I'm the king at 2K.
Right? 2K, huh?
You know, if you guys don't know out there, 2K is it's a NBA basketball game on it's a video game, guys, but and I'm the best here on Dominican, just to let you guys know.
And if you guys want to come and get it, Penafort 54, yep. Come get this buckets.
And you can see the man of the year in some 2K, Los Angeles Clippers, let's go. Just man, come and see me.
And he means man of the year as in Russell Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Anyways, Russell, I heard you got a shout out right now.
Got a big shout out to the fam back at home for Joe, Hugo, and Lisa. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks. Parents, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be here right now. So that's it. We had a good, you know, thank you guys for joining in. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Of course. You know, I love you guys. They're like my brothers here.
I love you too, Joe.
Yeah.
Love out here.
So game three at the Oracle tonight. Clippers, Warriors should be exciting. I'm Jay Smoove. This is Ball's Life. And tune in next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.